countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Joining me now to discuss the pros and cons of dairy and non-dairy is Zoe Kavanagh, the CEO of the National Dairy Council, and journalist Catherine Cullen. You're both very welcome. Zoe, I'll begin with you. I suppose if we were chatting to each other even just 10 years ago, the idea of an Irish farmer launching an oat drink would have sounded like the drink itself, pretty nuts. But the marketplace is changing, and I know you've been doing some research there at the NDC with consumers. What is that showing in terms of our attitude towards dairy and other nut-based drinks?
Actually, Damien, the market is becoming a highly innovative, interesting marketplace. And I commend the Lynham family on this innovation. Interestingly, I think it's a real addition within the whole dairy category. Because what we're seeing now, particularly on the back of COVID, 40% of consumers have indicated that their dairy consumption has increased. And if we look at the market at the moment, milk consumption and dairy products are in growth. In fact, oat is growing. And the growth is coming from whole milk, low-fat milk, and also these what I would call specialised categories, which would include the Lynham family's products, as well as dairy-based innovations. So I actually think it's good news.
Okay, so you're saying your line is not great there, Zoe. We might try and get you back on a better line. But just before I do that, I'll just try you again with this question. Are you saying that both are actually coexisting in the shopping trolley?
I am saying absolutely. Only 1% are purchasing the plant-based products exclusively. 99% of the purchasing, which tells us that consumers are looking for choice and broadening their repertoire. And both plant-based and dairy-based are in growth. So I think this is good for the market.
Okay, Catherine Cullen. Catherine, good morning to you. Oat and almond drinks becoming more popular as Zoe says there, but it's not necessarily at the expense of milk and dairy. They're both coexisting. What do you make of that trend? It was probably unforeseen.
It's Catherine Cleary, Damien, not Catherine Cullen.
Sorry, Catherine Cleary. My apologies, Catherine.
All the gremlins out today.
Yes.
I think consumers are empowering themselves by choosing different products, and certainly young consumers. I mean, I think the voices we heard from Grand Canal were predominantly young people. And I think the feeling is that among young consumers, that one thing they can change in their own lives is their diet. And if they can take a more ecological or environmentally friendly choice in their diet, then they're going to do that. And I think that's where that move is towards a plant-based protein intake. And it's great to hear an Irish farmer realising that that's an opening sector into the future. And that and while we can't grow almonds or soy in Ireland, we can certainly grow oats, beautiful oats. And I think it's a really positive story for farming.
But as Zoe said there, according to research, since the pandemic, our dairy intake has gone up by 40%. So this is happening alongside the increase in plant-based, that only 1% of plant-based sales are based on a vegan ideology.
Yeah, and I think that idea that vegans are a threat to Irish farming is something we really have to get over. I think it's something that if you have a cross-generational family, you may have a teenager in the family who wants a plant-based drink. That's perfect. We can see where there's an opening for Irish farming to get into that market. And I would love to see Irish dairy becoming a very valued product in our fridges, that we would be looking for, you know, a single estate milk that's coming from a small farm, that's giving that farmer an excellent price for their milk. You know, that our liquid milk market isn't just a byproduct of our dried powdered milk export market, which is what it is at the moment, and which is what is keeping it as a very cheap product on supermarket shelves. So those plant-based milks are more expensive than Irish dairy. And I think that's an opportunity for Irish farmers to say, listen, we need to value our milk, and we need to farm it in a way that adds value to the soil, adds value to our health, to our animal health. You know, there's a huge opening here. There's a huge positive story that can come with a more conscious consumer like those consumers that we heard today.
Okay, so Zoe, you're back on the line there. Just on that, you have indeed conducted research into what consumers want when it comes to their diet. What are the key findings?
The key findings are 78% of Irish consumers are looking for highly nutritious products and recognise that Irish dairy provides that. However, 62% are looking to pursue a more sustainable diet, and they're looking for help. And the two areas that they've asked for help on is product labelling and also understanding what products do fit within a sustainable diet. And just to explain to your listeners, when we say sustainable diet, this is a marriage of nutrition with environment. So in other words, we can't produce food without having a carbon footprint. And consumers want to be reassured that when they're purchasing certain categories, that they are sustainable and environmentally considerate. And this is where Irish Dairy off a grass-based system performs well. So I think where we need to evolve to is to take all the discipline we have on nutrition and nutrition labelling and take the learnings from that and deliver it unpacked to help the consumer understand what is truly environmentally appropriate and sustainable. And in the EU Farm to Fork strategy, there has been a commitment that by 2024, we will be providing consumers with that label pack information. But the challenge is, a kilo of broccoli is not the same as a kilo of beef. It's consumed in a different way, and the nutritional profile is different. Mm. Now, dairy scores well because it is probably the most affordable, nutritious product per euro in the marketplace. And I see now an opportunity for us to have a dialogue with consumers to represent dairy to them, not just as being nutritionally positive, but also actually off a grass-based system here in Ireland, environmentally really positive.
Catherine?
I think the problem with that, Zoe, is that all the figures environmentally are going the wrong way. We're producing 8 billion litres of milk now, more than 8 billion this year, which is a 40% increase in the last 6 years. That is not a sustainable issue. That's not a sustainable farming method. Intensive grassland management is a huge source of greenhouse gases. There is a sustainable dairy model, but we are not doing it at scale in Ireland at the moment. And I think it is anybody who understands how our greenhouse gas emissions work and how methane works and how a dairy cow will produce much more methane than a beef cow knows that there is a huge problem with Irish dairy. And until we are really, really honest about that and we start to do something about it, about the quality of our rivers, about the bird life on farms, about, I feel huge sympathy for farmers who have done everything that they have been advised to do by Chagas, by Farm Advisory. Get rid of your hedgerows because it comes out of your farm payment. Put on your nitrogen fertilizer to improve your grass and put on these breeds of cows that produce enormous amounts of milk. All of that is good economic farm advice, but it is bad environmental advice. Okay. And I think the reform of CAP is going to change that, but I think we cannot say that Irish dairy is sustainable at the moment.
I'll just let you reply to that, Zoe.
Yeah, we have 1.5 million cows in Ireland today, the same number actually as back in 1986. And through great animal management and grassland management, we've had 80% productivity gains. And it's a timely discussion because just this week we were up on farm with Richard Starrett, the NDC and Kerry Gold Quality Award winning farmer from last year. And to see what he's doing on farm in terms of managing his herd, treating the cow like an athlete, that athlete today compared to 1990 has a completely different performance profile because of knowledge and data and breeding and genetics. And what we're going to see now is exactly the same thing happening on our grassland management. Soil biology, soil fertility, carbon science, grassland management. Oh. We have some farmers leading the way around Ireland, producing more product with less environmental impact. And I think that's going to get better over time, but we're on a journey.
Okay, I just have one question for both of you to finish, and I'll stay with you on this. So we do demand higher standards, as Catherine Cleary says there, and that includes maybe more organic products, but are we prepared to pay for that?
It is literally the million-dollar question. I think through educating the consumer and society at large as to what needs to be done to provide sustainable, environmental, nutritious products, I think through that education program, there will be an opportunity to obtain a premium in the marketplace and right back along the supply chain. There is no future in asking our farmers to do more for less. There has to be reward, and that has to underpin a sustainable food producing nation, and we need to abandon a cheap food culture.
Catherine Cleary?
I'd absolutely agree with that. And I think the supermarkets have a huge role in that. CAP reform has a huge role in that. We have to pay farmers to farm for nature in a way that Brendan Dunford's project in the Burren has been such a brilliant model for that. But I think we also have to be extremely honest. We've seen a new labelling system in the UK called an eco score, which is going to carbon footprint foods. I think that could be a game changer for consumers who really want to eat a diet that is going to leave the planet in a better state than it is. So, you know, once those figures add up, there are certain foods that have a high carbon footprint and people will opt out of those foods. There's also a technological revolution coming in terms of creating protein without the use of farming, without the use of land, using, you know, incredibly innovative techniques with bacteria and energy to produce protein powder. I think that's going to replace the commodity protein market that we have gone headlong into. So we need to go high and we need to make Irish dairy a beautiful product. Okay, and product that it can be.
And finally, briefly, Zoe, in a word, we have a tweet here. Will the NDC publish that full consumer report? Is it available anywhere?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be available on our website and it's very interesting and well worth reading.
Okay, ndc.ie. Catherine Cleary, a journalist and writer with the Irish Times and author, and Zoe Kavanagh, the CEO of the NDC, thank you both for joining us this morning.